I am amazed that I like history, because when I was in high school and college, I did not like history. It was dry as toast. And I think what whetted my appetite, what really got me going, was I took a class in seminary called Theological Systems in American Church History. Doesn't that sound thrilling? It was like, wow, this is great. I learned where things like Pentecostalism came from, and when ecumenism got started, and how various things developed and became what they are now. And, you know, when you see somebody going down a certain way and they make a quick right turn, and you know it's a wrong turn, it's easy to spot that, isn't it? And they get off way off in left field. Well, we might see somebody who is going the direction, and he just makes maybe a 2-degree course change. So they're right along with us. So what's the difference between that guy that makes a 2-degree course change and the guy who makes a 90-degree course change? You know what the difference is? A matter of time. That's what what'd you say?
88 degrees.
88 degrees. That's true. They end up in the same spot. One just gets there a lot quicker. It's just a matter of time, though, until that one that made the slight course change starts going off in that way. And it was very helpful to see that and to learn that. I grew up in a Baptist church that was in fellowship with the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches. And when I went to Pillsbury Baptist Bible College as a young man, 18 years old, I had my fellow students telling me, oh, the garb is bad, and this is in 1988. And I was absolutely clueless of what the issues were. I mean, totally deer in the headlights, like, what? Are you serious? What have I done wrong? I don't know. And so with genuine earnestness and desire to learn, I said, well, tell me, what? And my fellow students said, well, I don't know, but my pastor said it's wrong. Well, I appreciate their zeal, but I didn't appreciate their answer. It was not helpful at all. Ignorance is not bliss, folks. You need to know why you believe what you believe and why you're doing what you're doing. So in the years that followed, I started learning about fundamentalism when I was at Pillsbury. The school has closed since. But I started learning about fundamentalism. I learned about the fundamentalist heritage that the JRBC had, and I absolutely fell in love with it. This is me. And so then when I went to seminary in 1992 and 93, well, that's the kind of church I want to look for. And so we found a JRBC church, and we got involved, and after 2 years, this is a larger church, they asked me to serve as a deacon. I was filling the pulpit and getting more involved, and I'm also learning things. And you know what I started to learn? I started to see that who they were in history is not who they were and then in the 1990s, and that was 20 years ago. And I love the history of that movement, especially Dr. Robert Ketchum. He's been a huge blessing to me, even though I was 8 years old when he went to glory. In the 1950s, there was a school started in the southern area of Ohio. It was started as a regular Baptist school in the JRBC as their first liberal arts college. They were absolutely ecstatic that in their movement they had a sound, separatist, militant, fundamentalist liberal arts school. You had men preaching there, and I can show you the files. Just come up to my home sometime. It's only a 3-hour drive, folks. I can show you the files there of the men who spoke there and the stands that they took and the articles that they printed. Sadly, in the 1970s, they began to drift away from this. And it wasn't a 90-degree change. Guess what kind of a change it was? It was a slight change. And as I've studied history, and as I've seen now that I'm an old 42-year-old man, I'll be 43 in December, as I've seen in history, the first thing almost always to go is the toning down of that aggressive defense of the faith. And that's what's called militancy, that aggressive defense of the faith. When that happens, it's invariably followed by a softening of ecclesiastical separation. In this school, after that happened, they started using not only rock music, but jazz music. Not only in their programs, but in their chapel services. And so now they're involved in not just preaching the gospel, but they're involved in social ministry simply for social ministry's sake. If you haven't figured out who I'm talking about yet, I'm talking about Cedarville University. Cedarville University, you might not be aware of it, but when it started in the 1950s, it was a rock-ribbed, militant, separatist, fundamentalist school. This past week, I received a flyer inviting me to attend their worship major. And this is what it looks like on the front. Okay? This is their worship major flyer that they sent to me. And it says they offer students a diverse curriculum. Offering students a diverse curriculum, the worship major at Cedarville University includes courses in music, worship, theology, and multimedia studies that equips students to be worship leaders who can navigate the ever-changing climate of worship by grounding them in the never-changing truth of God's Word. Here's their goal. Our goal is to guide you. I'll read that again. Our goal is to guide you through the ever-changing climate of worship by grounding them in the never-changing truth of God's Word. The ever-changing climate of worship? Grounding them in the never-changing truth of God's Word. That sounds good, but what they have just foisted up, you may not have seen through it, but they have foisted up a thing where they say, well, the faith does not change, but the forms can change. This is what's called in philosophy the form-faith dichotomy. And what they're saying is the forms can change, but the faith does not change. But what they're missing out on is the forms must grow out of the faith. They must be based in the faith there. Something else they say, the worship major gives students the tools and training necessary to serve and be used God, note this, to transform and unite the church. This is going to transform Morrow Bible Church, folks. Where is that in Scripture that worship is supposed to change the church in that way? Scripture is supposed to do that. Scripture is supposed to change us, not the emphasis on experience. Oh, one other thing I forgot to point out. They include courses in music, worship, and theology. They got everything backward there. Theology comes first. Worship flows out of the theology, and then the music, folks. But they've got it exactly backwards. Did I say one other thing? I forgot one other thing yet. Well, admission to the worship program requires an audition. Sorry, Pastor Gossman. You and I are not going to qualify for this worship program. I'm not disappointed. Are you disappointed? Okay, good. Let me make a quick assessment. Our God is a holy God, isn't he? And as a holy God, he never changes. Our God is a holy God who never changes. And our worship of him must never be driven by our whims, our emotions, our feelings, but especially this depraved culture. Our worship of a holy God must be an absolutely holy worship. We are explicitly told what our relationship to this world is to be. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Well, to be honest, I'm not worried about anybody from this church wanting to attend this worship conference or go seek this worship major. I'm not. So why would I even draw your attention to it? I draw your attention to it because back in the 1940s, I read articles by Robert T. Ketchum in the Baptist Bulletin when he was exposing the liberalism of the Northern Baptist Convention, that they had separated from over almost 20 years from that point. Why are we doing this, he said. He said, we're doing it because there's still souls in the Northern Baptist Convention that don't know what's right, and they need to hear it. But we're also doing it because we're having new people come into our movement who don't know what the issues were, and they need to be taught. They need to see. They need to learn. So I shared this with you today. Not so much I'm worrying about you, but you know what? You might know someone who would be involved in this. And I want to give you the tools so that you can address and talk to that issue. But as well, you might be completely new to fundamentalism. What's the big deal? What's going on? These are some of the issues that are involved. So let's stand for the Lord. Let's do so faithfully and depending on Him.